Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy 12 Kyle from the Rap Soul Podcast. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in as you do each and every week. I really do appreciate it. I also wanted to offer a programming note. This particular episode, the Rap Soul Podcast Classic, is an old episode. And for some, it may have been something that they've heard before because it was initially on the flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast, back in 2016. But I wanted to give it to you guys here because the thing is that many of you didn't know my podcast existed in 2016. And the great thing about these episodes is that the information has not changed. It's not dated, and it's going to sound and feel as fresh as it did back then. So sit back and relax and check out this new episode from the Rap Soul Podcast Classic. I appreciate it. 5,000.
Yo, thanks again for checking out another edition of the 12 Kyle Podcast. I'm 12 Kyle. And again, you probably already know that by now. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. All right, so check it out. Here's what I want to talk about today. August 27th, 1996. Check it. Outkast releases ATLiens. So today, we're going to hit it. If you've been following this podcast, you know that we've been featuring some groundbreaking albums that drop on their 20-year anniversary. And this podcast will be no different. We're going to be talking about Outkast, ATLiens, 20 years later. This album dropped August 27th, 1996. And it's kind of mind-boggling when you think about it because you have to kind of put in your mind everything that was going on. First of all, 1996 was an incredible year for hip hop. But on top of that, there were some great albums to come out that particular year. To this point, before this album dropped, you had All Eyes on Me from Tupac. You had The Score from the Fugees. I mean, you had Reasonable Doubt, Stakes Is High. I mean, Riding Dirty from UGK. It was incredible. I mean, and these albums were like back to back to back. Beats, Rhymes, and Life by A Tribe Called Quest. And then these guys from the South, from Atlanta, drop ATLiens. It was their second album. The first album, Southern Playalistic, Cadillac Music, was dropped in 1994. So, like I said, a lot of stuff's going on. You got the East Coast, West Coast rivalry is still going on. And here come these guys from the South. Now, if you follow your rap history, you remember that Southern Playalistic, Cadillac Music dropped, and Outkast subsequently won the Source Award for best, you know, new album, best new rap group in hip hop, and were booed the hell off the stage. And that's when your man Andre 3000 got up there and said, the South got something to say. And to be honest, the South has been talking ever since. But yeah, man, this album dropped, and I remember it vividly, man, because I was still in college and trying to finish up. And this one, you know, Outkast had already had a, you know, great success with Southern Playalistic, Cadillac Music. That album went platinum. So the question was, could they do it again? They did. This album sold, I think, like close to 350,000 copies in the first 2 weeks, which was unheard of, particularly coming from a group coming from the South, man. So it was dope, you know, from start to finish. But it was, I guess, the thing that really stood out initially was, like, just had their expectations. And some people, you know, it exceeded their expectations, and others, you know, and we'll talk about that a little later as far as what people expected from the album. But yeah, incredible album, and very much so a staple of the music that was put out in 1996. All right, so let's break it down. First and foremost, I think probably one of the most interesting things about the album is not just the album, but the album cover. If you look at the album cover is it was different in and of itself, because the album cover featured Dre and Big Boi, They're Outkast, in case you didn't know. But it featured them more like, and it looked more like a comic strip as opposed to the two of them and their fate and you know, like how you would normally look on an album cover. And rumor has it, and very few people know this, but what happened was they came up with the name. They were on LaFace Records. They went up to L.A. Reid's office. They said, hey, we got a name for the album. And it was like, what? It was like AT Aliens. And L.A. Reid was like, okay, sounds good. That sounds dope. Let's run with it. And so what they decided was they were working with some people on LaFace's team. And, you know, they were kicking around concepts or what have you. And they were talking about maybe doing like a comic book. And even if you open up the album cover on the liner notes, you see the inside of the album features like a little comic strip, what have you. Nobody was doing anything like that. And they eventually got their project moved to a gentleman by the name of Frank Gomez, who now works as a character designer at Marvel Animation. But back then he was illustrating comics for DC Comics. You know, he helped with the design and what have you. And then they, you know, they put Andre 3000 in a turban, and they put Big Boy in a, you know, he had a little Braves hat on. So it was like just repping the city. And so that was something different. Nobody was really, really ready for that. You know, they showed their faces in this cartoon, so it made them look like kind of like superheroes. It really went back to me when I first saw the album cover, went back to what Andre 3000 said that night that they got booed off the stage at the Source Awards, was that the South had something to say. And they really did. And really an introduction, when you look at the album cover, I think it's an introduction to what it is that you're actually about to get once you press play. And so you had the comic book feel. Those guys look like, you know, look like superheroes. And then, you know, then you go back to the name of the album, AT Alien. And I mean, like at the time, nobody was, I mean, like people knew about Atlanta as far as a music scene. It was up and coming. They just, that particular summer, they just had the Summer Olympics here in Atlanta. And I say here in Atlanta because I live in Atlanta, but at the time I was in college in South Carolina. But I subsequently moved after graduating from college in 1996, in December of 96. In the summer of 1997, I too became an AT alien and moved to Atlanta. But the thing about it was that the name stood out because it was kind of like, you know, a dual thing where almost like a double entendre where it meant, you know, it was showing pride in the city, but it was also, you know, gave you that feel of, you know, hey, it's an ATL and like you're like almost like you're being an outsider. And that's what a lot of people viewed Outkast as, outsiders, outcasts, if you will. And by some rights, they were, you know, outcasts even in their own city, because not a lot of people could really, really, there was a lot of the mainstream people that really were still hesitant to come to the Outkast table. But man, did they bring them to the table with this album. As far as the production, man, the production was dope. This album is craftily put together, just produced by Earth Tones Ideas and, of course, Organized Noise. So you don't need me to tell you about Organized Noise. Organized Noise, the camp is, I mean, they're dope, and they really got it started. And they, you know, they produced, obviously, the first album as well. So, you know, this album just had a different sound, a different feel. It was really kind of grimy and gritty, but it had this, these futuristic sounds. Didn't sound like it had a little, it had a lot of funk, had a lot of R&B, had a lot of some gospel element in it, but at the core of it, it was hip hop, but it was just that dirty, grimy, red clay, southern slang hip hop. And that was new to everybody. So it was really, really incredible. And suffice to say, man, Dre and Big Boy, they, I mean, they really, really rhymed their asses off on this whole project all the way through. You have to start off with the intro. The intro comes on, You May Die. That's the intro. Right. And, you know, it sounds kind of, you know, when you hear it's Joy Gilliam. She's singing and you hear it sounds like a choir behind her. So that kind of sets it off. And then you start with the first full song of the album, Two Dope Boys in a Cadillac. That was their introduction. Like, it was like, hey, we're back. We're Two Dope Boys in a Cadillac. Now, what was interesting was, like, you just really had, you had Andre and Big Boy really going, you know, kind of competing on the first album for like who could throw the hottest bars. And I really felt like that was the same on this album too. Like they just really, really brought it on each track. I remember listening to Two Dope Boys in a Cadillac, and the hook says, "Who them boys that be having it crunk in every occasion?" And I'm like, and I think for me, I can't speak for anybody else. I think that's the first time I ever heard the word crunk, and like I didn't know what it meant, but you know, we would come to know what the word crunk meant just right after after this album dropped. So Two Dope Boys in a Cadillac, man, the beat is banging, and like I said, they're rhyming. Now the next song that comes on is AT Aliens, which was the obviously the title track. And if I'm not mistaken, yeah, they dropped a video for this. So this, if I'm not mistaken, this was the first song that was released from the album. Now the visual concept was cool because, you know, I remember they were like in this jungle and safari or something like that. And you know, and they're Outkast is kind of playing on this extraterrestrial, extra life type things, just kind of letting people know like, hey, we're so dope that we're way out. You know what I mean? So that was interesting. But another thing that was interesting was their look. Big Boy still had the, you know, he was still looking fly with the hats and jerseys and stuff like that. And, you know, he came a little pimped out a little bit. Hey, not as much. Andre was much like the album cover. When you saw the video, he had on a turban. And people really couldn't understand what was going on. But between the first album and the second album, they both had grown a lot. And Andre, you know, he had stopped smoking, stopped drinking, and he became a vegan. And, you know, Big Boy became a father. He lost his aunt, who was like a mother to him. So, you know, they were going through some changes, and they grew as young men. Also, when you couple that with the success, but the look of Andre really kind of, for some people, kind of freaked him out because, you know, he was jeans and sneakers and jerseys and stuff in the first, you know, every time you saw him, and he let his hair grow out for this album. And like I said, he's rocking a turban. And what was interesting for me was like, I remember seeing Andre in the first video in a turban. And like, man, I think like weeks later, I went to the club and I saw dudes in the club with turbans on. I mean, like that wasn't really the move in 1996. But hey, you know, people wanted to be like Drake. Nonetheless, banging song. That song bangs. The next song was Wheels of Steel, man. I remember this. I remember hearing this for the first time, and I was like, yo, this is like, you know, this is really, really grimy, but Southern hip hop. And what was really dope about it was like they really put the scratches in on this, which is something rare, something that we really don't hear much, if at all, now on records. But you know, they scratched this one up, and it's always good, I think, when you can add that element into hip hop. So that was tight. Ironically, I think when the album dropped, at least like the first couple of weeks that I kept playing it, that was my favorite song, Wheels of Steel. I would play Wheels of Steel every day. The next joint, Jazzy Bell. Jazzy Bell, Ode to the Women. What's interesting about Jazzy Bell is that if you listen to the lyrics and you listen to the type of women that Dre and Big Boy are describing, if you've been around and you're a man, you probably know a few Jazzy Bells. And it's not necessarily that she's one type of woman or this type of woman, but it's just, you have to really, really consume, you know, what it is that they're saying. But they were, man, they were dope. And I think they really did a good job of painting the picture as to who they thought Jazzy Bell was and how and why she needed to change her ways. Next track, Elevators, Me and You. Man, first and foremost, the hook. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too, rolling down the strip on Vogues, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. I mean, it's simplistic. It's, you know, playeristic, if you will. You won't confuse it for I take seven MCs, put them in a line, but it was so dope because, like, for cats like me, particularly for cats like me who are from the South, it felt good to hear somebody rhyme and they not try to sound like Rakim, or they not try to sound like LL, or not try to sound like Chuck D. They really were about honing their own skills in their own Southern drawl, their own Southern way. And it made you feel proud to see two dope MCs from the South that not try to be like anybody else from the South. And they were proud of where they were from, thus the name of the album. But man, that hook is arguably one of the most memorable hooks in hip hop history. But yeah, man, Me and You, your mama and your cousin too, rolling down the strip on Vogues, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. I mean, it sounds kind of funny when you read it, but yeah, man, that track, I mean, the beat was crazy. The beat is crazy. And again, what was really dope about this was that, you know, and I think this was self-produced by Outkast. Nobody else sounded like this phonically. And so I think that's the thing. That was another thing that really made this album stand out, was that phonically nobody else could make this type of music. Next song, Over the Woods, another banger again. And you know what really I love about this track is that Big Boy and Andre, even on this album, they still sound like they're trying to get a deal, like they're still trying to get respect. And really, if you think about it, they have, or at least they should have had the respect, because the Source recognized them as, you know, an up-and-coming group. I mean, they sold a million coming out of Atlanta, where nobody was selling records like that, or nobody had that kind of volume or cachet, if you will, in hip-hop. And for them to do that and then really come back on the second album, the sophomore album, they could have, with the way and the success that they had from Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music, they could have really just put their feet up and said, you know what, we're gonna do it this way, and we're just gonna chill, and we're gonna cater to our fans and so forth and so on. But they really set out to, you know, make something even better than, you know, the first album, which was hard to do because the first album was dope as hell. And so Over the Woods kind of reminds me of, just like I said, these two cats is just really, really rhyming their ass off. Like, they're still trying to get a deal. They got a deal, but, you know, they're still going hard at it. And you gotta, as a fan of hip hop, regardless whether or not you like Outkast or not, you gotta respect that. Next track, Babylon. Babylon is interesting because Big Boy is, you know, he's rhyming on this one about, he was talking about his feelings that he was possessing for a woman named Renee. Now, at the time that the album dropped, I'm like, okay, who the hell is Renee? Is that your baby mama? Is that your cousin? But turns out that Renee was his aunt who raised him like a mother, and she passed away from complication pneumonia. And her death obviously affected him a lot. He was laid on the line. And I think really, as a fan, you got to appreciate that when you get the humanistic side of an MC. After that, next song, Waylon. Now, Waylon is more or less of an interlude, but I love the little beat, man. That little beat is dope, man. I like Waylon. And it goes. And Big Boy, I mean, the song is right at 2 minutes long. Waylon, I thought was cool. I'd have been cool if Waylon had been a little longer, but it's all good. It's all good. Next track after that, Mainstream.
If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time.
Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes.
This is one of my favorite tracks. Big Boy's verse. This song features Kujo and Timo from Goody Mob. You know, shout out to them dudes, man. And to be honest, I think, you know, you got two really good verses from Timo and Kujo. And but I think Big Boy's verse really, he killed it. To me, I love Big Boy's verse on this one, man. He destroyed it. And it's really hard to show up Dre or whatever, but I think he got Dre on this one. And you know, I think people, anytime you have a hip hop group or duo or trio for that matter, you'll always have people who will analyze each song and try to say who had the best verse on whatever song or whatever like that. And, you know, people, if you ask most hip hop fans, they will tell you that they think that Andre 3000 is a better MC than Big Boy. You know, some will tell you, I mean, most people will tell you that. I will say this, Big Boy does more than hold his own. So don't sleep. Don't sleep, especially on this track. He straight destroys it. The next song, Decatur Psalm, man, featuring Big Gip and Cool Breeze. Two other good verses from Cool Breeze and Big Gip. This one really has the Southern Baptist church, you know, with the Martin Luther King fan just sitting in the hot church sweating and fanning yourself while the preacher won't get off get out of the pulpit. Yeah, that song goes hard. I thought it was dope too, because like I remember listening to it, you know, when I was in college, and you know, I'm looking at, okay, Decatur Psalm. You know, and the title really didn't mean much to me until I moved here. And where did I move? Decatur. So where's Crater? So, you know, and that's another thing too that I think Outkast, they did a lot on both the first album and this album, ATLiens. They shouted out Atlanta. They shouted out streets. They shouted out, you know, homes or projects, if you will. So, you know, and I think for a lot of people, like if I remember, you know, they may have been probably the first group I remember ever shouting out Campbellton Road. Now, everybody who lives in Atlanta or who's been here, they've been on Campbellton Road. I mean, so Campbellton Road, if you're in Atlanta, Campbellton Road is almost as popular as Peachtree Street. Maybe a little bit popular for other people. So, but yeah, I think they were probably one of the first groups or first people to ever mention Campbellton Road. But they did a really good job, I think, of, you know, shouting out their city and the streets. And obviously in the first album, they talked about Headland and DeLow, which is where the Dungeon studio was actually at when they would record, where they actually recorded the first album. But yeah, I think I love that. And it's always, you know, even being here myself for the years that I've been here, as long as I've been here, there's a sense of pride in that, because, you know, you kind of, that's what New York MCs did a lot. They would shout out this city and certain parts of the city or borough or whatever like that. And you really didn't hear that a lot in the South. And so when they said, you know, hanging out on Campbellton Road or whatever street that they shouted out, that I thought that was important, at least for the city pride, if nothing else. Next song is Millennium, another banger. I mean, like, it's like hit after hit after hit. Now, the next song, E.T. Extraterrestrial. This one, I think, gave us a preview for where Outkast could go as far as pushing the musical envelope, because nobody else had music that sounded like this. This, it was really, really, like I said, futuristic, you know, George Clinton type stuff. There was really no beat. I mean, if you just listen to it, it's just, you know, it's out of this world. That's all they would say, just out of this world. And that's really kind of where the music was. It was out of this world. It was something that was different. And again, I think what they showed with this album was their dexterity and their ability to really just push the envelope and really not care about offending people or you know, disappointing people or anything like that. And the album closes out with 13th Floor, Growing Old. I love that song. I love that song. The hook is dope. And they just, you know, on this one, they just really kind of reflect. And it was a great closeout to the album. The 15th track on the album is Elevators, Me and You. That's the OMP 86 mix, Organized Noise Production mix. Nah, be honest, I rarely listen to it. I mean, it's dope, but by the time I get to that, I'm usually done with the album. Nonetheless, the album, that's the album in its entirety. Incredible album. I tell you what. Let's take a quick commercial break. We're going to throw, you know, let's get a little perspective on Outkast. And then we'll come back and I'll tell you, you know, what I think about the album, how significant it was, and where I rank it in the music of 1996. It's 20 years later. We'll be back in a second.
Outkast is a unit. You know, me and Dre work close together, and at the same time, we work out of the different studios. I work out of Stankonia, and he works out of his home studio. But just like when we did Speaker Box Love Below, we would bring all the ideas together, and before we put any product out, we always let each other hear what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So before I put out my record, Solutions Left Foot, Son of Chico Dusty, I went to Dre house, played it down. He actually was the one who picked the first single, Shutterbug, and was like, you need to drop this first, you know what I'm saying? So it's still brotherhood all the way down because, you know, it's our brand, and we, you know, want to make sure everything's top notch. Me and Dre has always been about the music. It's never been about who we was fucking or who got locked up or some kind of controversy. It's just like, we just make some mind-blowing ass music. And to kind of keep things up or keep up a bunch of mess, people try to want, you know, try to throw something in it to make it seem bigger than what it is, but it's always just been about the music, you know? So when they say Outkast is breaking up, that's never been the case, ever. I mean, we can give a fuck about this music. That's my buddy, you know what I'm saying? First and foremost, like, I slept on the floor of his bedroom in my high school year in high school, you know what I'm saying, to graduate. Like, we like making music, and we got personal lives, you know what I'm saying? So you're not gonna see us hip to hip all the time. There's never been no beef, never been no animosity or nothing. It's always been family, but the media, you know how they do. They, you know, want to spice things up a bit, so never that. That's, I mean, how can we still be making all these songs together?
And just like that, we're back. So what we're talking about today, ATLiens, 20 years later. As I mentioned, man, this album sold through the roof. 350,000 first 2 weeks. Eventually went double platinum. So, I mean, it did very well. It exceeded the sales of the first album. Critics love this album. I think it got, I want to say this album was like highly rated by, you know, Rolling Stone. I think Rolling Stone gave it 4 stars. The Source gave it 4 mics. You know, so it was very critically acclaimed. The critics love this album. They talked about how, you know, their styles still meshed and how they were really willing to push the envelope musically. And how that's appreciated, and how, you know, they had a new sound, and they called it the sound of the South. And that, you know, Outkast was ushering a new generation of music, which they really, really did, if you think about it. But there were some people who didn't necessarily feel this album, this go-round. And the reason why I say that is because the Outkast had a fan base that was really, really cool with them talking about pimps and hoes and Cadillac dopes. So, you know, that pimp playalistic lifestyle. And on this one, you know, on this album, they, you know, as I mentioned earlier, they grew in this album. So, you know, when you grow, you're going to talk about different things. You know, they talked about, you know, they still had the talk. They still had talk about, you know, hustling and just, you know, playing, but being players. But, you know, also they talk more about, you know, their introspection as men, and they talked about extraterrestrial life and living beyond this world. And I think that was more of a musical metaphor. You know, I'm gonna be honest, there were some Outkast fans that were offended by, you know, the direction of the album. They didn't like the fact that, you know, it was, you know, it had gone from what it was to, you know, something that it is, or it became at that particular time. And, you know, they weren't necessarily the hardcore partying players anymore. They were just kind of, you know, kind of settling into being, you know, as young men. But to me, you know, and they even said it on, what was that? One of the songs said, went from yelling, that was a Jazzy Bell. Went from yelling bitches and hoes to queen things. You know, so it's, like I said, it shows their growth. And I think sometimes as fans, we get to the point where we're not necessarily looking to see our artists grow. So personally, I didn't have a problem with it, but there were some fans that didn't like the fact that ATLiens sounded lyrically, it had kind of taken a turn from where Southern playlistic Cadillac music left off. So yeah, the critics loved it. There were some fans who did not like the way that it went. My personal opinion, I thought this album was incredible. I thought it was phenomenally placed together. I like where Andre and Big Boy really pushed each other lyrically. And again, if you look at the landscape of what dropped that summer, when you look at It Was Written, Stakes Is High, and Reasonable Doubt, I mean, Riding Dirty, and all of those albums are dropping back to back to back to back. So the pressure was on. And I don't think OutKast, I don't think that bothered them at all. I don't think that, you know, the East Coast, West Coast rivalry, I don't think that bothered them at all. I think what they set out to do was to go into the booth, make music that was doper than dope and doper than what they had put out before. And they succeeded overwhelmingly. Where does this album rank in the albums that dropped in 1996? Man, this is, I'm not going to give you the official number because there's going to be a podcast commemorating 1996, but this is one of the best albums in 1996, hands down. This is one of OutKast's best albums, in my opinion. If I had to give it a mic, I would give this 4.5 mics. Now, don't get it twisted. Listen, there's some of you listening who probably would give this 4 mics. If you say, I'm giving this album 4 mics, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. I'm giving it 4.5. And listen, there may be some of you who say this is a 5 mic album. You get no argument from me. Personally, I can't give it a 5 mic album, and I'll tell you why. I love every song. There's one or two songs that I don't love as much as I just like. You know, like I don't love them, I just like them. Like, what was that? What song is that? Extraterrestrial. Love the concept. As far as the song, you know, it's cool. I listen to it. It's not a skip for me, but I just, to me, that's the slightest of blemishes that knocks it from 5 to 4.5. You know, but other than that, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a bad song on this album. You may have songs that you like more than others, but nah, for me, again, if you say 4 mics, cool. I got no beef with you. If you say 4.5, you agree with me. If you say 5, hey, you really get no argument from me. Now, if you said 3.5 mics, I got to fight you. Because this is a dope, dope album. I think, and obviously, you know, from this, we all know what happened with OutKast. They proceeded to release even more albums. The next album, Aquemini, is my personal favorite. Now, if I had to give any of their albums a 5 mic, I think Aquemini gets 5 mics. But if you look at Southern Playalistic, Cadillac Music, AT Aliens, and Aquemini, you would be hard pressed to find any other group that would have done 3 albums like that and then have that kind of commercial success. Because keep in mind, Southern Playalistic, platinum. AT Aliens, double platinum. Aquemini, triple platinum. So they got progressively, the albums got progressively better and they sold just as much. And of course, not everything's not built on sales. But I mean, when you look at, you know, Tribe's first 3 albums, you look at De La's first 3 albums, you look at PE's first 3 albums, you know, I'll let you be the judge to figure out where OutKast fits in that pantheon of albums as far as their first 3 albums. That being said, I think, like I said, this is an incredible album. Would definitely recommend if you don't have it, get it. If you haven't listened to it in a while, listen. It's an incredible, phenomenal album, and you will enjoy it as much as I do. And like I said, so we know what happened, or at least maybe we do know what happened. They went on to record more albums. They have not put out an album in a few years as a group collectively. Honestly, I don't know that OutKast will make another album. Reason being is because to make an album, as OutKast, Dre 3000 has to rap, and I don't think Dre has any motivation or desire to rap right now. And of course that could change, but I know he's really, really into acting, and you know, of course Big Boy has, you know, moved on and done solo projects, and you know, done the joint with Big Grams, and you know, still touring and still making music. And you know, but Dre, and you know, we saw the documentary, The Art of Noise, which was the feature on documentary that's featured on the Organized Noise Production Group camp. You know, it remains to be seen if they ever make another album. I would love to see them get back with Organized Noise, and I mean, I don't even care if it's just EP, man. I mean, well, they're not gonna do EP, but still, listen. I think when you have this kind of success and you're that dope, I think you're kind of cheating yourself to some degree if you don't give that back to the fans. But I understand. I understand, you know, artistically, and if they don't feel like they're there. Here's the one thing that I love about OutKast, and I think this is very true. I don't think that they will ever be in it just to say, hey, we're still in it. You know, they don't want to be in the game just to say, hey, we're still in the game. Like, if they're in the game, they want to make sure that they are contributing to the game. And so I think Big Boi will continue to make his solo projects. Dre, even though he's not rapping on anybody's album per se, you know, he'll get on you and drop a quick 16 on you. And, you know, just remind you how dope he is on a quick 16. But, you know, as for, you know, whether or not we'll see another Outkast album as time goes on, I don't necessarily know that we will. I would love to see it happen, but I'm a little bit more realistic in the fact that I think that it won't happen. But if it does, I'm there. Trust me, I'm there. I'm not, there's no hesitation, no nothing. Yo, I am there for another Outkast album. But I think one of the things that we'll take, that you can take away from this album, again, as I mentioned earlier, is the fact that they truly and genuinely enjoy, and you can tell that they enjoy this process of creating music together. And, you know, over the years, there's been a lot of speculation as to whether or not they had beef and, you know, if they were ever going to get back together. And Big Boi says it to this day, like, Outkast is still together. Like, they never broke up. He's like, just because they haven't recorded any music together doesn't mean that they broke up. He's like, at the end of the day, that's his friend. And, you know, that says a lot to me, because I think when you get into the music industry and, you know, a lot of you're pulled in different directions, I think it's easy to lose sight of that. But I think their friendship and their partnership gave us some great music. And at the end of the day, we should all be thankful for that. So Dre, Big Boi, from me to you, thank you for Outkast's ATLians. That's been another edition of the 12 Kyle Podcast. We'll holler at you next time. 5,000.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.